Please are George W. Odell, Captain, service number 093341, United States Marine Corps Reserve, Intelligence Officer, Force Recon Company, 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion, 3rd Marine Division. Danny M. Slocum, Corporal, service number 2296479, United States Marine Corps, Assistant Team Leader, Force Reconnaissance Company, 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion, 3rd Marine Division. Michael P. Nation, Private First Class, service number 2349846, United States Marine Corps. Rear Security, 3rd Force Reconnaissance Company, 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion, 3rd Marine Division. Stephen R. Thompson, HM3, service number 9995919, United States Navy. Corpsman, 3rd Force Reconnaissance Company, 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion, 3rd Marine Division. The interviewer is Stephen G. Hadlaw, Sergeant, service number 2164653, United States Marine Corps. The interview took place at Dong Ha, Quang Tri Province, Republic of Vietnam on 18 February 1968. Subject of the interview is a force reconnaissance team extracted under enemy fire. Classification is confidential.
My name is Captain George W. Odell, 093341. I'm the intelligence officer for 3rd Force Reconnaissance Company. This statement concerns the actions of Patrol 2-1, box score on the 16th of February to the northeast of Charlie 2. The patrol leader at this time was 2nd Lieutenant Terry Graves. He had 7 enlisted men with him. The final outcome of this action that was fought with an estimated 2 companies of North Vietnamese Army troops was 5 KIA, including Lieutenant Graves, 1 WIA, and 2 men who were not wounded. The action took place approximately beginning 1500 on the 16th when Lieutenant Graves' patrol ambushed approximately 7 members of the NVA. At this time, after the ambush was over, Lieutenant Graves had, and one other man had started down to check out the ambush site. They received some small arms fire from the ambush site, and one man, Corporal Danny Slocum, was wounded in action at this time. It was a minor leg wound in the upper right leg. The team threw grenades and returned small arms and automatic weapons fire into the ambush site. They waited, then Lieutenant Graves and one other man went down and checked out the area. They did confirm that all the people down there were dead. They moved back up onto the small hill that they had sprung the ambush from. They were beginning to take some scattered sniper rounds at this time. Lieutenant Graves called for a medevac for Corporal Slocum. The first helicopter that attempted to come in received heavy ground fire. This was a UH-34 from HMM-163. The chopper was waved off by Lieutenant Graves because of the ground fire. They waited for a few minutes. At this time, an enemy machine gun opened fire, and Lieutenant Graves, Lance Corporal Emmerich, and Corporal Robert Thompson were wounded in action. Emmerich and Corporal Thompson were severely wounded. Lieutenant Graves received wounds in the upper part of his legs. Lieutenant Graves moved the team back up to the landing zone. Two men were carrying Lance Corporal Emmerich. One man was carrying Corporal Thompson. The helicopter came in, landed, was receiving intense small arms and automatic weapons fire. Five members of the team were able to get aboard the helicopter. They were the corpsman, Stephen R. Thompson, hospital man third class, PFC Mike Nations, Lance Corporal Emmerich, Corporal Thompson, and PFC Adrian Lopez. Corpsman Thompson and PFC Nations at this time were engaged in trying to keep the two wounded people, Emmerich and Corporal Thompson, alive. One man, I believe it was Doc Thompson, was given a heart massage to Corporal Thompson, and PFC Nations was administering mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on Lance Corporal Emmerich. At the time when PFC Lopez attempted to get on the airplane, he was wounded by automatic weapon fire. The chopper was sustaining intensive automatic weapon fire damage. Lieutenant Graves assessed the situation, felt that the chopper could not possibly stay on the ground long enough to take the other three people aboard, and waved the pilot off. The pilot later stated that he motioned for Lieutenant Graves and the other three men to come into the chopper, but Lieutenant Graves went ahead and waved the chopper off. The chopper did manage to get off the ground and get to Delta Med, although it had sustained such damage to the airplane that upon reaching Delta Med, the plane was unable to go any further and was subsequently taken back to HMM 163 by CH-53 the following day. At this time, the team had three members left in the RZ, Lieutenant Graves, Corporal Slocum, and PFC Honeycutt. Lieutenant Graves, Corporal Slocum had both been wounded. PFC Honeycutt was not wounded. Despite repeated attempts by the air people, the ground fire was so intense that they couldn't get into to the people on the ground. Huey gunship came in, managed to get on the ground, and took the three people aboard. The plane took off, had just barely gotten off the ground when intensive enemy ground fire shot the plane down. The plane crashed and turned over on one side. At this time, we had no comm with the helicopter. We didn't know whether anyone was alive or dead in the plane. A reaction force from Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 4th Marines was launched, consisting of a platoon, in an attempt to get into the helicopter and rescue any survivors. The platoon moving toward the helicopter met with fire coming from three sides, heavy automatic weapons and small arms. They sustained four casualties and one KIA. They were forced to withdraw, and they spent the remainder of the night away from the helicopter. The next day, the remainder of the company was lifted in by helicopter, and they did manage to reach the helicopter and ascertain that there were a number of bodies there at the chopper. At this time, Lieutenant Graves, PFC Honeycutt, and Corporal Slocum were all being carried as missing in action by this unit. The ground people confirmed that the bodies of Lieutenant Graves and PFC Honeycutt were there at the chopper, which left Corporal Slocum missing in action. Later on the 17th, that afternoon, Corporal Slocum was found by a helicopter, which directed friendly ground units to his position. Corporal Slocum was medevaced to Delta Med. The following tape recording was made by myself, Captain O'Dell, at Delta Med, interviewing Corporal Slocum just prior to his air evacuation to Cameron Bay Hospital. This interview took place on Saturday, the 17th of February, at approximately 1600 to 1700 hours, here at Dong Ha.
We were talking down near the stream bit, and we moved to this large bunker, not a bunker, but a bomb crater, and we saw two more on the side of the hill. So we was gonna ambush and do the trick on them, and then we saw seven moving across the ridge line and to our south. Four of us moved up the hill to ambush them. We're gonna ambush these rather than the other ones because these seven all had packs and they all had weapons. And we're sitting up there waiting to ambush them, and Nations opened up on me. He started it all off. We couldn't see the first seven, the four of us, because we was right above them on the hillside, and the trail was a little set in from the side of the hill. So Lieutenant moved more south. He moved down towards the rear of the trail. I moved down towards the way they was coming. That's when I got hit. Just as I was moving down that way.
Had you already sprung the ambush at this time when you got hit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Lieutenant moved down the. Evidently got two of them, him and RB started firing away with 79, and there was heads flying and all. And then these people started opening back on us, throwing grenades. And
when you say these people, do you mean the ones that were down there in the ambush site?
Yes, sir. We were the seven.
Okay.
And then a few minutes later, these other people started firing at us. And then we had more people to our northwest who was firing mortars at us. We got a few incoming mortar rounds.
About how far away were they?
About 425 meters.
Okay.
Just out of 79 round range. So these people down below stopped firing, and we weren't catching any except for what was coming from our northwest. And we all were sitting there, and then Lieutenant moves down to the other side of the hill again. Him and RB is going to go down and see what they can find, any bodies or anything. So they moved down, and they got cartridge belt back and canteens off of Corman that they was walking near security. They said they saw four of the bodies along the trail, but they didn't want to go up any farther because it was kind of touchy. This is Emory called for medevac for me, and then there was the three other people down, and four other people down in the bomb crater started opening up on these people to our northeast. We were just catching sniper rounds from them every once in a while. Then was Lieutenant got some Marty going. Was quite a ways off, so he kept readjusting, and the choppers finally got there. There was a 34 that come in, and
let me ask you about the birds, Danny. Okay, was it all 34s, or were there any 46s out there?
I'm not sure, sir. I saw 34s and Hueys. I'm not sure about 46.
Okay, was anybody else wounded at this time?
No, sir.
Okay, when were the other people wounded?
Well, we was moving up the side of the hill. The other four people that were down in the lower bomb crater. We was moving up the hill and they all sat in there and we're still calling in Artie. They said, okay, the chopper's coming in. And 34 come in and Lieutenant waved it off.
Do you know why he waved it off, Danny?
No, sir. It was catching quite a few rounds, though. And it was... This is when Lieutenant and Mike and RB were... There was all sitting down there about a meter apart. And machine gun opened up and got all three of them. It was just not less than 2-3 seconds apart.
Okay, so in other words, the first plane that was coming in was the 34, and Lieutenant Graves waved it off.
Yes, sir.
And then the three of them got hit.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Lieutenant was the first one to get hit, and he caught two rounds in the crotch, the way I understood it. And then Harvey yelled, he was hit pretty bad. I don't know where he was hit. And then Emmerich was just starting to crawl back up the hill, and he was hit, and he just slumped over. He stopped breathing and didn't have any pulse, so we got his pack off, and Nations gave him artificial respiration, brought him back. And then 34 was coming in again.
This is the second 34.
It's, yes, sir, it's the same one, but it's just the second time it come around.
Okay.
And they moved to, we got RB and Mike. The top of the hill, we had two people with Emmerich and one person with RB. The choppers come in, they threw them on, and when Lopez was the last one getting on, he got hit. The choppers were receiving a lot of rounds at this time, right in the door area. I think the co-pilot and some of the crew chiefs got it.
Now, at this time, Nations, the doc, Emmerich, Thompson were on the bird, right? Lopez was starting to get on the bird when he got hit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what happened?
Well, they went on off, and I didn't even know Lopez was hit until I got back.
Okay, did Lieutenant Graves waved him off, right?
This was the first time around, yes, sir.
Well, I mean this second time, when you loaded everybody in?
No, sir, they had their fill on, I mean, had what they could take, and they took off, I think. Lieutenant was on one side of the hill this time. I was on the other. I couldn't catch it all.
In other words, you were on the other side of the helicopter?
No, sir. I was, it was a lieutenant. Here was a chopper. Here I was. I just hit the far end of it.
Okay.
We kept catching machine gun fire. Now, first couple of choppers that come in, they just come by. They didn't try and stop again. And then, we got all the packs and shit together, the stuff we was going to take, and there was only three of us left on the ground at this time, Honeycutt, myself, and Lieutenant.
And you and Lieutenant were both wounded, right?
Yes, sir. So, Lieutenant got a radio, I got a radio, and drove it to the top of the hill, and Honeycutt got most of the weapons. And then they want us to move more south on the side of the hill so we wouldn't catch so much incoming. So we moved our gear over there, and we got over there, and they come in, and we started throwing the packs on, and the chopper was taking around this time. It was really burning up. They was really putting some rounds in. So it never quite touched the ground. Huey just come in and wavered over about a foot off the ground, and we all got on and took off. Not even, I'd say, 5 meters off the ground. I saw the co-pilot slump over, and rounds were coming to the rear section of the chopper itself, cutting up people things. I think the lieutenant got hit again while he was in the Huey.
Okay.
And so the Huey went down completely spastic, and it hit right on the other side of the river about 50 meters from the riverbank itself, right above the bomb crater. It hit, and landed on his side. I was top man. I was on the top of the pile this time. I was pretty lucky in that.
Do you know what happened to the two gunners? The one on your side?
No, I don't, sir.
Okay.
So, I skinned out the top of it, and I was there, and Lieutenant was, one of the co-pilots was down on the ground.
And inside the chopper or outside?
He was outside. He was stretched out on the ground, and he was kind of dazed, but he was still there. And I saw the groups closed in. It was about 15 meters. There's 15 or 20 of them coming. One of them was yelling orders and shit, not paying much attention to anything. So I asked the co-pilot, he got a pistol. He said no. He said he had a carbine inside the cab. So I went back in the cab and couldn't find it. So I got back out and I went around on the side of the chopper. Was sitting back on its side. It was 160 on top. I tried to get up to 60. By the time I just about got my hands on it, they opened up with me on the carbines and shit. I took a leap and I landed about 5 or 6 meters out and just froze.
Do you know what they were shooting at the other pilot this time, Danny?
No, I don't, sir.
Okay.
And I just froze back there. There was a rocket pods laying next to me, and they threw two frags. One hit on one side of me, and one hit on the other. I think they just left me for dead, you know. And at this time, they was moving around that chopper, and they was firing rounds and shit, just one or two rounds at a time. I think it was killing off what people was left. We had all the gear on there. They said they couldn't find it, so I figured that they must have took the radios and the packs and whatever else we had on there, all the weapons. So I was laying over there, and they had it was coming in on runs, the Hueys and stuff, and I sat there for a while, and then I made a break for the stream and made it down there. I went downstream about 50, 75 meters, caught up on a bank.
Do you know whether or not Honeycutt or Lieutenant Graves were alive when you got out of there?
No, sir, I didn't see either one of them. And got down there and got up on the bank, slept for part of the night, and then I moved it out and walked up into a harbor site, a couple of NBA harbor site. I don't know how many was up there, but you hear them talking, clanking canteens and such. I moved the bank down and went around and spent the night at this other place. Whole night I was there, was getting TPQ'd. Rounds coming all over the place. Next morning I got up, first light, and I started up this one trail. I moved over it and I just got to the top and I noticed there was one dude about 15, 20 meters off, just milling around, out of field, jacking on a bush cover. So I went back down the trail the other way. It led to the stream again, so I hit the stream, went down about another 150 meters. Crawled up on this time, the opposite side, and I could hear them talking now. They was just coming down the creek, filling up whole water and shit. So I was taking it kind of slow and easy. Moved to the top of the hill, and I was watching these Hueys and 34s coming in and pick up bodies and such.
And these were from the grunts that were out there.
Grunts. I'm pretty sure it was from the grunts, and I think they picked up a couple of bodies. It was. I was told they were supposed to be out within 15 meters of deal it the night before. I saw the 46s come in the night before, and I didn't think they landed. They just come up. Swooped down and it was out again. So I didn't want to go back over there because there was a firefight going on. Didn't want to get shot anymore. So moved up the top and I was watching.
Hey, Danny, go ahead.
I was watching these 34s come in and it was watched by Hueys. I got out there and opened a little bit and I started waving around watching the Hueys. The Hueys saw me. They was flying around and I know they saw me, but they didn't pay much attention to me. They took off about 2 hours later. So I moved on top of the hill this time, and here's the top of the hill, a little valley, and then on the other side there was another little finger. And this time, the grunts were having a firefight over there.
About what time was this, Danny, do you know?
No, sir, it was just getting around, I imagine about 11, 10:30, 11. So I moved on up there, and the whole top of the hill was little foxholes, good foxholes. They look kind of old. So guess what happened? The gun saw me over there, and they didn't know who I was. Anyway, they called fire missions in Army. About five different times, volleys of about 5-6 rounds. And I've been volleying, I was down my whole life. So, that afternoon, an AO come around. I guess he was flying around about right after lunch sometime. I couldn't say exactly when. And he spotted me. He waved his wings to me and shit. And he circled for about another hour and a half. And the Hueys come in. And the Hueys were moving all up and down me, straight from the ridge lines and shit. And then the Hueys dropped some smoke and wanted me to move towards the grunts. And I didn't want to do that because I didn't have no weapon in between us. It was gooks and shit. So I just stayed where I was. And
you didn't have a weapon ready, Danny?
No, sir. And I was up there. This was right after they called in the Army mission and shit, and the planet saw that I was one of the good guys and shit. And the grunts started moving my way. At first, I thought they was NVA, so I could take off the other way. Chopper sort of motioned me back, told me to go ahead. So I went up there, and it was grunts after all. We went back up. I walked over to them. They took me back over down to the valley and over the little finger there. And that's when they had a medevac come in and pick me up.
Okay, Danny. What about that area out there? And how many people you think you got hit by? Do you think you were in a bunker complex and you just didn't know about it, or what?
I don't think it was in a bunker complex. So I think there's at least a couple companies out there. They had mortars and machine guns and AKs and corpsmen. Had just a little bit of everything.
I'm PFC Nation. I was rear security on this patrol, and I guess start where we heard the voices at. We were in a bombed out area heading southeast, and then there was a river down below us, or a stream like, I guess. And the lieutenant, first of all, we heard the voices, so we all kind of got down and moved to the side of the bush line. And we waited there, I guess, about maybe 5 minutes, listening to see if the voices came closer. And they didn't. They just seemed kind of stay still. You know, they were in a, they'd taken time for lunch or something like this. They were eating. Well, we then decided, the lieutenant apparently then decided to move back up the hill that we were on a little bit and go around and cross the stream and go over to this other side of the river where we saw there was a hill there and a trail. And in the trail, we could tell, was pretty well used even from where we were. So we got over to the other side of the river, the stream, and we got up. We moved along the trail for about maybe 10 meters, I guess. Maybe not that far. And we got the trail kind of parallel with us. So we moved up on top of the hill, and there was a bomb crater there. We went inside of the bomb crater, and we formed a 360 inside of that, and still just listening to these voices, because while we were moving, we didn't hear them, but when we got up in the bomb crater, we could hear them again. I guess the lieutenant's original plan was to pull a snare and try and catch a prisoner or whatever, you know. So we're sitting there. Me and Honeycutt were to the reverse side of where the voices were coming from. And from my position, I could see a ridge line, and I spotted about five VC or NVA moving along it. I could see they had rifles on, and at the time I only thought it was five. And then I turned around to call the lieutenant over to see it, and Honeycutt then motioned that there was six of them. Well, we were kind of in a bind because the voices we had heard were on one side and these others were coming up on the other side. We didn't have much of a choice of what to do but lay an ambush for these six that Honeycutt had seen. I'd seen five of them, but Honeycutt saw six. So the lieutenant, Slocum, Lopez, and Thompson moved up on this ridgeline that we were on where the Bondi crater was, parallel to the trail, to kind of ambush them. Well, they got up and everything, and VC kept coming down the trail. They were on the trail on this ridgeline. Apparently, I ran over on this other ridgeline where I'd seen them because they came on down the trail. One of them got, I guess, about maybe 15, 20 feet away from me. And he kind of looked over my way a little bit. And then there was another one that just seemed to kind of pop right out of the ground. Apparently, from my position, I didn't see him coming and walking up there. But he stood up high. And the other one, I think, had possibly seen me. I don't know. So I had to open fire there. And they were getting a little bit too close for comfort. Then everyone else just opened up. RB with Thompson with the M79. Slocum opened up with his 16. And all of them did. Lieutenant, everybody except for Emmerich and the doc. They were on the reverse side, having to kind of keep watch on those, where the voices were coming from. Honeycutt was to my left. He was shooting all the time. He was doing a real good job out there. All of them were. Then we stopped firing to see if we could hear anything or if anyone was still moving around or anything like that. And we didn't hear anything. Then I looked over and I could see Danny was standing up. I'm not sure if the rest of them were or what, but apparently Danny was going to move down and get a better position to fire at or something. The first thought I had was they were going to go down and check out the area. And all of a sudden, one or two rounds, I don't know how many rounds were fired, but one of them hit Danny. And at first I thought it hit him in the head because he jumped back, he fell back. And then he sat up. I could see him sitting up, so I knew he wouldn't hit too real bad. And he yelled out that he was hit. And the lieutenant apparently moved right over to Danny right away. And then the lieutenant came back down to where me, the doc was, and Emmerich and Honeycutt. And the doc went up. The doc then proceeded going up to where Slocum was to help Slocum. Meanwhile, the lieutenant was on the radio telling that we had a medevac. One of the guys was wounded and gave Danny's medevac number, I guess, and everything like that. But it wasn't a serious medevac, you know, it was just a regular thing. It wasn't an immediate extraction like. Then the lieutenant was telling him that over the radio, I know Emmerich said something about the handset being keyed out, the net was keyed out, and he wanted to change the channels. And I don't know what happened there. I don't know if they changed channels or not. I don't think they did. Then while the doc was up there, the lieutenant told us to get all the packs that were together in this bomb crater and move them up to where the rest of the group was. So we did that, and we had everything all together. We started moving up, and just as we started moving up, we got pinned down by automatic rifle fire. I guess maybe we had moved about maybe 3 meters outside of the crater where we were at. And then Danny and Thompson, Danny Slocum and Thompson, both opened up. And I guess the doc was firing. I don't know if he was or not. I think he was working on Danny. I'm not sure. All I know is they kept the rounds. They stopped the fire that was on us. And we were able to continue up, get out of the area where we were, and move up to where the rest of the group was. We then got up there, and we formed a 360. And all the time, Danny was Slocum. He was real good. He held tight, no problems at all. And he was hit, but he still had complete control, you know, and he was staying calm. Then we're sitting there, and at that time we weren't exactly receiving rounds, I don't think, right at that moment after we got up there. Things were pretty quiet. Then me and Honeycutt were side to side again and on this 360. And on this other far ridgeline, I could see two of them up there. One would stand up, two of them were standing up. One had a rifle. He wasn't aiming in on us. Apparently he couldn't see us because the elephant grass was about a little higher than knee high, and we were squatting down pretty low. So me and Honeycutt then started shooting at these two that we saw over there. Then there was more of them that popped up from that same area, and Honeycutt, I think, got about three of them. I know I got one, and, well, that's irrelevant. But then we started, you know, getting some rounds in. Not much, but enough to make us want to stay down low. Then I guess that's when the lieutenant lieutenant said that we were going to get extracted out of there, and that